What a day, what a day. I was just thinking of what would be one statement that you could say was absolutely true. That everything is presence. That would be sort of a true
Because
statement.
presence is illusion, and in order to have presence, you have to be within the illusory body-based existence in order to have this body to feel the sense of presence. So, I am is the only kind of really true statement.
Well, okay.
Prior to beingness, prior to everything, I
Yeah.
am. You are.
Not I am presence.
No, just I am. You exist. I exist, and you exist prior to the knowledge of your existence. And that's it. Now you're enlightened.
And it's sort of the same as saying being exists, isn't it? Being exists.
Being doesn't exist because being is within the bubble of illusion experienced.
Yeah, because I was I still I my mind when I try to know stuff I think of being. I can know myself being, or I can know being, but I can't know. It seems like doing. Of course, that's a type of do. I guess knowing is a type of doing, but doing is part of the illusion. Being somehow being me, I guess being I am is. As you're saying, is the only thing that's not illusion.
You just break it down to the most simple thing. I exist. Because you exist without the knowledge of existence. So
The
that's it.
knowledge of existence couldn't be there unless you are.
Yeah. And with the knowledge of existence comes the knowing of all these other things. Oh, I exist. Just like in a dream, you're laying down sleeping. There's a quote, deep sleep, where there's no sense of a you, no sense of an anything, nothing, just a void. And yet it's not really void because, again, you are. Then this sense of existence starts to stir, and boom, a dream world is projected immediately. You identify with one of the dream characters and begin a dream story.
Which
And
is
this is how the waking dream works as well.
which is, includes the whole world. Not the dream is the whole world. It's like as soon as
To
there's
say even world doesn't really make sense because it's appearance within the formlessness. So world is like saying this is a wall. Well, is this a wall or is this like plaster Paris and some wood and things like this? We're labeling it wall, and we all understand this. We use the words to label something so that we can all understand this is a wall. But to say the world, it's an appearance within the formlessness that you are. And so it really has no substance other than our words that we use strung together and say, this is a world.
And so therefore we end up feeling limited. Because we,
Well, because of identification with the form. You're formless. Now you identify with the form. Even if it's a really big form, it still limits the formlessness. Let's say you identified with a T-Rex. Okay, this is a giant thing, yes? But it's still limiting you because you're a formless and you're now impressing that you're a form. So you're caught in the bubble of illusion of I am something. When you're nothing, you're formless, you're spaceless, timeless, absolute. And then you get caught up in the form world and you believe, oh, I'm this form. And again, just like in dream, you lay down at sleep at night, you immediately identify with the form. You certainly don't dream about your formlessness, because where would be the dream? Just like in the waking state, when you know yourself in a real sense, the dream is finished. The waking dream is finished. Yes, you go about your duties and do this and do that and all these things, but you know, oh, I'm formless. The formless holder of the body, as we said last time, what's the form of the one? Oh, you're formless. Yes, the body form is available, but it's not you. In order to play in the illusion, you need a body form, even an ant. Again, we go from T-Rex to ant. It's the same. It's just the form. And the formlessness says, ah, I'm this. Let me go about my little ant duties, or let me go about my T-Rex duties, because I've identified with form as myself. And when I identify with the form, I'm going to see other forms.
So you could say the ant identifies also with being an ant.
Well, an ant has basic instincts and does little ant things. It
That's
performs as an ant.
identification. Has to
Breath
identify as
presence in the
food.
form of an ant is impressed to do like these things. That's why Maharaj says the basic instinct of life to survive, the presence in the form of an ant, if you pour water, the ant runs away because its instinct is, I have to protect this body.
Because it identifies, the identification is going on with the
Absolutely. If
ant.
this body ends, then I'm no more. Oh my God, what happens to me? That's why all the people they ask, oh, after death, what happens to me? But there's no death because there was no birth. If you're identified with the body, you could say that this body can no longer sustain the formlessness, and it kind of dries up and goes back to the earth. It's either burned or buried. But it's just elemental goo that no longer we're supplying food and water. But you don't go anywhere. There's no birth and there's no death. The formlessness attaches to a form. And so, just like in a dream, the formlessness that you are attaches to all these forms in your dream, not just the one that you believe yourself to be. You're also powering all the other forms in your dream. That's obvious, because when you wake up, who was powering all those forms in your dream? Who was creating conversations that were going on in your dream? There weren't separate entities. And it's the same in the waking state. You identify with a form, you believe yourself to be this form, you see other forms, and you communicate with those other forms. Believing yourself to be a form, you can't possibly be others, correct? Because, oh, I have to be, how can I be this form and God? Or how can I be this form and the formlessness? Or how can I be this form and all the other forms? No, I cannot.
It's
But
contradictory.
if I'm formless, then of course I'm all these things. So my job, while holding a body form, is to know myself in a real sense.
So there's no contradiction in formlessness, but there is contradiction in taking yourself to be something.
Well, that's why Maharaj says when he tells you you're Brahman, you say, oh, no, you must be making fun of me. How can I, this little me, be Brahman? No, this little you is not Brahman. This little you is an appearance, a five elemental lump of goo in which the presence has said, I am this.
So
Let me
it's
go
like
out and be doing something. Let me be living a life, and so forth. But again, presence could attach to the bird, could attach to the ant, the T-Rex. It doesn't matter. And when the T-Rex drops, as it did millions of years ago, the same presence is here, animating these other bodies. We believe ourselves to be separate due to this body. Again, that's why Maharaj uses the example. Ashram sky, toilet sky. The walls come down. Does the ashram sky go to heaven and the toilet sky go to hell? No. Sky is sky. Space is space. It's we who make the separations. And just like we said, the world or the wall, this is a word that we use for communication. But because we're communicating and saying these words, we impress this as this body is in a world. This body is in the formlessness. The concept of world is within the formlessness, just as a dream. And again, even if aliens from another planet come here and start like, oh, we're from a billion light years away, it's still within the presence that you are. And those aliens are still the presence because that's all there is. Just as in a dream, if you dreamt about aliens coming to visit and you said, wow, this is just so amazing. We're having alien visiting. It's just forms appearing and
And
disappearing.
whether it's a TV show or actual aliens, it's still just still.
Everything is a show, really. For you, the invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity, it's just a show. That's why Maharaj says, play your part very nicely. Do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. But this concept of birth and death should not affect you at all. You should not even for a moment be able to say, oh, I'm going to die. Even when the doctor comes in and says, you have 6 more weeks. We're going to put you in this little home. You're very old and all this. You cannot walk anymore. And they're having machines take you. And you say, oh, you know, you're very old, this. But the presence is not old. The funny thing is, the old people in the hospice presence is the same as the day they were born, looking out of these eyes. Now it's just, oh, the body can no longer sustain this essence, and presence will no longer be operating this body form. And all the other forms that come to the funeral of this body form are the presence, perhaps with different various ideas impressed through mind that I am the father or the, well, not the father, of course, because the old guy, but so I am the son or the daughter or whatever of this old person, and I love them and they took care of me and all this sort of thing. But it's body-based relations, and you are not body.
To have the movement, it has to identify with one of the objects, right?
Well, when you're, as soon as you know yourself, you're identified as, oh, I'm something other than myself, or I exist. The sense of existence has appeared to you. You existed, but now this knowledge of existence, oh, I exist. And that sense of existence then spans so many other different various concepts. It spurs it because you're going to identify with the form, formless presence, I exist. Identifies with the body form. And then as forms are created and destroyed, it's I'm being born, I'm living, I'm dying. I have a life. The life is the span of time in which I know myself. The little bit mistake is I know myself as this form rather than, yes, I exist. And when this form is gone, I exist. Prior to the form, I exist.
It's kind of a birth of dishonesty, but you don't realize you're being dishonest because you're just making somehow thinking I exist when it's just incorrect. And then, but
Well, and
then.
the parents and everyone else is telling you, they label this body, boom, it's a body factory. Label this body. Then good job, bad job, and you impress. Well, this is me. My life is important. My family is important.
So it's kind of dishonest, but it's not dishonest because you don't realize you're doing it. You're
Well,
being
it's
dishonest.
all illusion.
When suppose when you go to work, when you focus your attention on particular thing and all, that moment you would have forgotten yourself.
Yeah, well, it's just like when a basketball player is on the court and they're in the zone, so to speak. They're dribbling. They're not thinking about every single each step. They're just dribbling and boom, taking the shot because it's just they're in the zone. When you go to work, you do your job, you do your duties, you take care of your responsibilities. If the manager comes and gives you more work or whatever, maybe you even complain a little bit to yourself, hopefully, so you don't get fired. But that's okay, because it's all within the bubble of illusion.
Correct. But that moment, you would have identified with that particular body, I mean that object, and
Not
your.
necessarily. You don't need identification to do your job, do your duties, to be stuck in traffic, to be in the line in a grocery store. You don't need an identification. There's just that just I, spontaneous actions in the moment, and scenes are appearing and disappearing. I'm at the grocery store, now in the car, now over here, now over there, but you don't have to conform or sit there and say, I am this or I am something. You just move about. Literally, it's just space,
You
just
don't have to,
moving about.
you don't have to know you're there to be there.
Yeah, no. And like I said, even, as Maharaj would say, just, you can't just say, oh, I'm a very spiritual man and my job, I don't need to do this, or I don't need to do this, or you just do your job, do your duties. Yes, you may complain if there's a heavy workload. It doesn't mean you're identified. You're just like, oh, it's a heavy workload. Okay, back to work. Let's do this thing. Or, oh, I'm stuck in traffic. Let me go ahead and turn the radio on or do something to get my mind out. Hopefully, mantra. Oh, because I'm sitting here and I say, I'm stuck in traffic. There's a little stirring of an I exist. I don't want to drop into the illusory ditch and complain about being something stuck in traffic. So, this will be a perfect time for mantra. But no identification as far as like sticky. Everything's very light. I think Maharaj has said, like these clothes. You wear the body like these clothes. It's not heavy. You don't feel these clothes all the time. Like, imagine if you had to feel. Now, maybe you buy something, it's very itchy, and you're constantly aware of the clothes. But if it's just regular clothing and it's not itchy, not bothering you, you're not feeling or impressed that you're wearing clothes. They're just there. Oh, body? Okay. Body is just there. But you're not constantly sitting there pressuring yourself that I'm this body form. I need to act or behave this way or anything like that. And that's why Maharaj says, you don't keep saying, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man, or I'm a woman, I'm a woman, I'm a woman. Because this is, you know this. You don't have to keep reminding yourself of your name. And you don't have to keep reminding yourself that you are the formless absolute.
As time goes on, everything you say becomes a little bit more apparent, almost like every day. Like I was feeling, I've had these feelings in the past, and then, but they're still just feelings and experiences, I guess. But it's sometimes it, I was feeling like everything is a dream. I was actually feeling that, and then I was also feeling today that the clouds. I was looking at clouds and they were actually within me. Like everything, not only because they're just another aspect of motion that's going on. Motion's going on outside of me, it's going on inside of me. It's nowhere else other than presence, I guess. I guess that's still in presence, but.
Yeah, the entire world is illusory and it appears within you. And clouds are a good example because you look at the clouds long enough, you say, oh, I see a dog. Oh, I see an elephant. But it's just form. And a concept is being impressed on this form, the your concept. You're seeing this. Now, maybe somebody else says, oh, yeah, that cloud does look like a dog. But it's a formless cloud, just kind of clouding. And then you're impressing a concept on it and saying, this is something. Because this is, if you follow along with the flow of thoughts and follow along with this mind, then this is how everything needs to be compartmentalized. Because remember, the mind came along with the body. The mind cannot produce any thoughts or any images through thinking, so to speak, that is about you. It can only produce thoughts, ideas, and images about the illusion because it came along with the illusory world.
Identities.
It has to say, like, this is a plastic bottle. I learned this and I'm storing this data. But again, that's where Maharaj says these are the wrong files because you stored this information through this is, I am John, this body, and this plastic bottle holds liquid that I drink. But again, these are all illusory files based on I am somebody else. Even memories. If you sit there and you say, in my childhood, this, in my childhood, that. You're again, you're identifying with a specific body form and saying, these are my experiences. But this is again, wrong files. When you know yourself in a real sense, you can say, oh, this is the past. And when I believed myself to be something, yes, this was occurring. But I know that nothing has happened, nothing will ever happen, and nothing is going to happen. I don't sit there and reminisce about the past. I can bring it up, just like when we're speaking here. I can recall things that happened in India and state them just as facts, like a reference library. But it's not impressed. It's not a, and it's not operating under the pleasure and pain principle of. Wow, that was such an amazing time. I really miss it. I want to go again. I want to do this. Or, uh-oh, I don't want this to ever happen again, or this or that. The pain and pleasure principle is because of the repeated experience. I had an experience, good. I want to repeat it. Bad. I don't ever want to have that happen. So fear comes. Good. Addiction can come. Oh, it felt so good. I want to do it again. Oh, it doesn't feel as good as the first time I did it. I need to do a little bit more to make it feel like the first time I did it. I want that pleasure. This is why Maharaj says nothing to excess, everything in balance.
Basically, it's strong belief.
Yes. Belief through identification, flowing along with the thoughts. A desire comes. I want this thing. Or, reverse, I do not want this thing to happen. I am afraid. And some is okay. You're holding a body form. It's good to go to work every day. If you said, I have no fear of being fired, then you'll be fired. This is very simple. But you have, like, okay, I need to do my job and do my duties. But that's not really pain or pleasure either. That's just doing the job, doing the duties. Pain would be, oh, I know my manager is watching me all the time. I know this is happening. I know they don't like me. This is going into the thought process, identification, and the pain principle. The pleasure principle of, oh, I'm going to get this promotion. I'm going to do this and I'm going to go on a vacation with this money and all this. And this is where you get caught up in identification, the tug of war. Because wherever there's pleasure, there's going to be pain. Wherever there's pain, there will be some pleasure, but it'll focus mostly on the pain because that's the negative. You don't want this thing. When you know yourself in a real sense, scenes appear and disappear.
Basically, whatever present moment it appears spontaneously, just do it and leave it.
Yes. With no sense of doership and no expectation of I perform this action, this will happen. Because that's where you can get frustrated. If I do this, then I want this to happen. That's your pleasure pain principle. That's identification. If everything is pick up, drink, put down, forget, that's it.
Yeah, thirst, like body-based thirst, it arises spontaneously and just you, without any pressure, you forcibly move the body and it'll drink the water, whether you
Exactly.
want it or not.
Exactly.
So this dream is not under control of me, because you see how that body, when you feel thirst, it forcibly, whether you want to drink or not, it will move and it will drink the water.
Yeah, a body-based impression is sent. I think Maharaj has said this before, mind, ego, intellect. A thought comes, I'm thirsty. It goes to mind, gives to intellect. Intellect says, drink this water. Okay, thirst satisfied, put down, everything's okay. It's just mechanical.
Yes. So in that case, nothing is controlled in this dream. Like it's spontaneously,
Absolutely
whatever has
true.
to arise, it will arise, whether you want it or not it, you want to control it or not, it will happen.
Because you're formless. So the doing of all the objects within the formlessness that you are, they're not separate entities that can control. Just like in your dream, you could say in a dream, it seems like all the people, like somebody's walking a dog. Somebody might be swimming in a lake. Somebody might be selling hot dogs. And you could say each one of these is doing something, but you're dreaming this.
See, that's what when we sleep, I don't know what dream is going to come.
Exactly.
It can, anything can come. Only when I wake up in the morning, I know, oh, this is a dream. That's all. So in that, during that dreaming, I don't have any control.
Correct. But in the waking state, you really don't have any quote control. Even all the things that we do that are doership is based on conditioning of I'm this body form and I've been doing this. Like if we were born in some mountain somewhere, we might believe that cannibalism is absolutely acceptable. This is just the way it is. But here, we wouldn't do that. So your body form that you're identifying with or that you're using has been told this is the norm to do these things. And presence, believing itself to be this body form until you know yourself in a real sense, just says, oh yeah, this is how I do it. Just like you have Americans who believe a certain thing, and you have British people who believe a certain thing, because, like Maharaj says, sky is not Russia sky, India sky, American sky. Sky is sky. Once again, we put all these concepts based on I am somebody else. When you know yourself in a real sense, no sticky concepts can stick. There's nowhere to stick them.
But still, when just now you said in the beginning, this body form is, the purpose is to know who exactly we are. There is an effort.
I mean, there's really no purpose. It's just spontaneous actions within the formlessness. But the form. When the formlessness is within this form and says, oh, there must be something more, and starts to seek, then that pull to want more, to know myself in a real sense. But this is all also spontaneous and may even arise from the sense of I'm doing. It's me against the world. It's me against, oh, this is so terrible. There must be another way. And then you start reading and you start doing these things and you start this concept of a spiritual journey because you're no longer satisfied as just this body form. And this is quite natural. Presence with presence, consciousness with consciousness. The desire to know yourself. Because you are that. And also the limitations of the body form and the illusory world are so evident that there's so many things that you would be like, oh, wait a minute. Like even if you're believing yourself to be body and you begin to pray to God and you begin to learn about God and you learn all these things. There's that natural seeking that's coming about. It's hard to maintain the illusion of being a body in a world because there's so many things pointing to the fact that you are not that. Or that there's, quote, something greater than this body form. And this has been true since the dawn of time. People contemplate the existence. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing?
That is the mind, right?
Mind is giving the flow of thoughts. Identification with the body form says, who am I? Then who am I is the investigative process. Who am I? Well, you know, or you have a near-death experience and you have some vision. Oh, I wonder what that was. You become religious because you've lived a really crazy life. Now you want to turn to a more peaceful life or whatever kind of body-based illusory experience is occurring, your pull, it's a magnet that pulls you to yourself. And eventually, within the bubble of illusion, you meet a spiritual teacher, a guide, or guru, and they if they are not just out for your dollars, will say, you are that. You are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. And now it's up to you to investigate this. And not investigate just by using body, ego, intellect, mind. Sit with meditation. Meditation slowly, silently, and permanently removes the illusory layers. The fire was burning brightly, presence was there all the time, just covered with illusion. Presence may be in the beginning, like, oh. Oh, what is that? I feel this subtle, peaceful presence. And then selfless self-intoxication. I want more of this. This is so nice. Then you begin to look for this sense of presence in every everyday activity outside while you're doing all your activities. Oh, stop and smell the roses, so to speak. Some people, when they're in nature, they feel the expansiveness of the nature and they feel the sense of presence without being able to even identify it. They just feel something.
Yeah, more
This
calm.
is.
Yes, something like more calm and
Because you're in the nature and you're not sitting there flowing along with the flow of thoughts.
Yeah, well, a lot of this journey has been because I wanted to become free of fear and free of self-criticism, self-hate, or whatever. And it occurred to me now that largely I'm not in a state of fear. I mean, I'm not always in a state of fear. I mean, it can seem like it sometimes, like the fear never leaves or something, but actually, there's plenty of times for probably any human being when they're simply not afraid.
Well, it's when self-consciousness, with the little s, is more than self-consciousness with the big S. The more you have self-consciousness of, I'm this body in this world, I need to protect this body, I need to do these things, I need to take care of myself, nobody's going to take care of me, blah, 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 then fear will come. But the more there's self-consciousness with the big S, I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body.
There's no
There's no
fear,
birth or death.
no fear at all.
There's no others. I'm formless. What kind of trouble can come to formlessness? Can formlessness go to hell or heaven and be tortured or praised or pleased? No. How? That's why Maharaj says sky. Is the sky happy? Is the sky like sad? Now, there could be a disturbance in the five elements. Thunderstorm, tornado, tsunami, all these sort of things can happen. Just like in this body, there can be a disturbance in the five elements. It's just you don't flow along with the thoughts of, I am disturbed. I am angry. I'm sad. I'm depressed. No, this is not true. This body is experiencing something, a disturbance in the five elements. Now, if it's something that needs a doctor, okay, don't say I'm a spiritual man, this thing will pat. Nope, you go to the doctor, see the doctor. But overall, a disturbance in the five elements doesn't need a concept, doesn't need an identification.
You could say that's spontaneous too, I guess.
Yes.
Appearance, spontaneous appearance.
But it's issue of, like you were saying, like self-consciousness, whatever. This is a five elemental body, and there can be disturbance in the five elemental body. You can feel tired, you can feel depressed, sad, angry, happy, elated, tired, not sleeping, but like Maharaj has said, don't attach the concepts to this of I can't sleep, or I am not sleeping, or this is disturbing my sleep, or this is disturbing my day, or I'm angry. Because it passes as long as you don't sit there and crank up the mind factory, which is just a flow of thoughts through identification of I'm having this experience. Again, perfect time for mantra.
It stops the layers, the layering.
Absolutely. When the mind is concentrated on mantra, that's like Maharaj says, the mother needs to cook the food, give some toys to the children to play with, because if the children don't have toys, they interrupt mother every 5 minutes and mother cannot get any cooking done. So, mind is given mantra. Okay, mantra, mantra, mantra. And now these, I'm not disturbed. That's why Maharaj says, you are disturbing the peace. The idea of you that needs something, that feels something, that wants something, or doesn't want something
It's self-imposed, kind of.
because of identification with the body. That's why Maharaj says, remove the body and then speak to me. Somebody would come with problems and they'd say, oh, this family problem, this. Okay, remove the body and speak about these things. You cannot. You cannot. How can the space in the room be affected by what's going on inside of it?